Hey everybody, my name is Matt, and I'm one of the pastors on staff here at CrossPoint, and I'm so happy to be sharing this time with you. You know, a couple years ago, I was beginning my time at Bible College, and I had attended a smaller little community college for a couple years, and now I was moving on to get my degree in ministry. And on one of the very first days of attending this school, the first day of class, I met some really awesome people, some people that just made my time at that Christian college something really special and something amazing. And one of those people that I met on that very first day of class was someone that I just felt like I should get to know better. Okay, she was beautiful. She was amazing. She was just so awesome to be around. Her name was Caitlin. Spoiler alert, we got married. So I won't leave you in tension to the end of the story. That's how it ends up. But at the time, I didn't know her. And I felt like I should just get to know this girl better. And so I thought, well, I'm going to wait 3 days, okay? And then on the third day of class, I had it all planned out. I was like, I'm just going to ask her on a date because I want to get to know her better. That makes sense, right? And so on the third day of class, I walked out and I caught up to Caitlin and I tapped her on the shoulder and she turned around and I said, Caitlin, I would really like to go on a date with you. Would you grab coffee with me today? And Caitlin turned around and she just oh so sweetly said, no, okay. She said, no. Can you believe that? She said, no. And I was kind of like taken aback, a little bit embarrassed, but I thought, that's okay. And her reasoning was that she said, well, you know, I'm not really at Bible college to find a husband, and like, I don't want to go on a date too soon, okay? And fair enough, right? I thought, fair enough. That's okay. So I walked away, but I had hope, okay? I had faith, because she said the phrase, too soon, right, which meant that there was hope in the future. And I thought, you know, I just need to have some faith here. I just need to believe, because I believe that this is something that I should do. And so I waited a week, and I walked up to Caitlin again after class, and I followed her down the hall, caught up, not in a creepy way, but I caught up to her, and I tapped her on the shoulder, and I was like, Caitlin, I know that you said that, like, you didn't want to go on a date so soon, but it's been a week, and so I was just wondering, like, maybe if you'd like to grab coffee with me today. And Caitlin turned, okay? And she just oh so sweetly said, no. Okay, she said no again. And here I was, just crushed, embarrassed, walked away. But I still had faith, because three strikes and you're out. After three times, it becomes harassment. But at that point, it wasn't. So it was okay to ask her out just one more time. I had Journeys, Don't Stop Believing, playing through my mind. I knew I had to have faith. Thank you, Journey. Right? So I'm stepping up to the plate. I'm walking up to Caitlin for a third time. And I waited like several days afterwards, right? And I thought, this is my last chance. But I have hope. I have faith that it's going to pay off. And so I walked up to her. I tapped her on the shoulder. And I said, Caitlin, like, I know that you said that you didn't want to go out with me twice already, but I just thought I'd ask you just one more time. Will you go on a date with me? And Caitlin turns, right, and she just oh so sweetly says, sure. And I was like, yes, she said sure. She said she would go on a date with me. For her, it was like, well, I just kind of want to get this guy off my back. But for me, it was so big. I had, like, the faith. I had walked forward. I'd asked her out. It paid off. But then I was, like, super nervous, because now I had built it up, like, three times. This date had to go really well. I had to have faith to step into that as well. And she had to have the faith that I wasn't some creepy, weird person that was going to just be really weird on this date. And it all turned out okay, but not without that faith component, that ability to just keep moving forward, just keep believing it's gonna be okay if you step out and you do something that you know you should do. And maybe you yourself have been in a situation that's sort of like this. Like, maybe you've felt in the past that you should do something, or that you should just let something happen that's outside of your control. And it's something that maybe makes you sort of nervous, or maybe it gives you some feelings of insecurity or some feelings of anxiety. It makes you nervous with the uncertainty, and you know that it's going to require a lot out of you. Or maybe you just know that, like, you might not like what's waiting for you on the other side or what will happen after you move forward. Or maybe it's because you failed in the past. Whatever it is, you just kind of have a little bit of apprehension or nervousness about what's ahead of you. And you realize through this that the requirement is the faith, the belief that you just need to keep trying. You just need to keep going forward. And the truth is that it requires faith, doesn't it, to take that first step? It's some boldness. It's a willingness to journey into the unknown. It takes faith to allow yourself to feel uncomfortable or uncertain about what's happening or what will happen if you decide to do what you feel you should. But you're hoping for something, right? And even though you can't see what's at the end, you push for it because you have faith, because you believe. And there are a lot of examples of this in today's world, aren't there? Like maybe we could say that someone you know, or maybe even yourself, was diagnosed with cancer during COVID. Well, it takes a lot of faith to go to the doctor's office, to believe that that place is sanitary, that the doctors are competent, that they have your best interest in mind. It takes a lot of faith and patience to be able to walk through that with your family member. On a completely different note, sometimes it takes faith to step into that car with that first-time driver as they're stepping out onto the highway, and you have to have the faith and the trust that you're not going to die as you step into this car. It's all gonna be okay, but it's not in your control. Other times it takes faith to trust that even in the midst of a difficult year, God is still in control. It takes faith to fulfill the Great Commission and tell people about Jesus in a world that isn't always very accepting of Christ. It even takes faith to take a day off and know that the God who created the world has control over whatever sort of stressful situation that you are facing. Ultimately, it takes a bold faith to step into the calling of God, no matter what that is. This morning, we're going to talk about the importance of this in our world today, theologically and practically, through several different considerations. And our objective is going to be to have a balanced picture of an active faith in our current culture. And we're going to survey this through a couple of different points that really just define it as an ongoing part of Christian life that happens in different ways, okay? And the first thing that we're going to talk about today is this idea that faith is required to please God, okay? Faith is required to please God. And what this means is that it's an essential part of Christianity and relationship with God. And it's our starting point for today. Hebrews 11:6 says really plainly that without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So what we find in this passage, first of all, is that it is pleasing to God, and having faith in God go hand in hand. Let me rephrase that. If you want to please God, you need to have faith in God. It goes hand in hand. And maybe today you have been wondering, like, I just want to know, like, how I could possibly go about making God happy with me, how I could possibly have the favor of the Lord with me. And maybe you've seen scriptures where it says that God's favor is shown upon somebody. Maybe you know somebody and say, the Lord just seems to really, really bless them. I'd like to know how to go about going down that path. Well, the Bible says really plainly here that you need to start with faith in him. Believe that he exists. You know, scripture tells us in this verse that without faith, it's impossible to please God, which implies that faith is pleasing to the Lord. And if you want to know how to please him, then you need to start with the requirement of trust in God. And that's how we do it. Maybe we can think of it this way. So I have like a little 2-month-year-old daughter, just amazing. Her name is Esri. And one of the things that she's been doing just within the 2 months of knowing her is going through these developmental phases, okay? And she's currently in this weird phase. I didn't see it coming. Caitlin didn't see it coming. Apparently, it's a thing. What ended up happening was one night, Caitlin handed me little baby Esri, and she needed to go and do something. And I'm holding her, and she's looking up at me, and I'm smiling at her. I'm like, hi, how are you? And she just looks up at me, and her smile just kind of twists and it turns, and she starts to scream like as loud as she possibly can. And from that point on, every time I've held Esri has been like a guessing game. Is she going to scream? Is she not? Is this going to turn out okay? Most of the time, she just screams, okay? What I would really, really like is if Esri did not scream every time that I hold her. In fact, like sometimes, just to be honest, I don't even really like the fact that she is crying all the time. I just want her to know that it's okay if her dad holds her in his arms. And I think it's the same way in the Christian world. You know, the works that we do, even though work in faith is important, the works that we do just aren't enough to please God. And the works we do against God grieve him, and there's just no way that we could do enough to make up for it. But contrastingly, it actually pleases God when we have faith in him, when we trust God to just let him into our lives and allow him to hold us. And so we know that at the most basic level, the most practical level, putting our trust in God is a requirement that pleases him. Just like a child, we can think of it really, really easily like that. It's just like a child being held by her father or her mother. We place our trust in God. We have faith in him. And how do we do this? Well, it says really plainly in the scripture that we believe that he exists. We earnestly seek him, and he rewards those who do this. That's the first step. And in many ways, it kind of relates to that tension that we referred to earlier, because this is the part of faith that can make you sort of uncertain or can make you uncomfortable. But it's the step that's necessary to please God, and therefore it's a requirement of God. God's word tells us that belief, you know, taking that first step in trusting God is rewarded. We begin in faith by trusting that God's promises are true, that his son Jesus has truly risen from the dead, that there is freedom from the power of sin and death, and we ask him to come into our lives and to forgive us of our sins. And we know that in that moment that he then becomes faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the reward then becomes the blessed assurance of Jesus Christ in our lives, the freedom from sin, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the access to the body of Christ. But faith doesn't just stop there, okay? Because we begin with a faith to trust in God, and then we actually continue with it to partner with God in the ongoing work of Jesus Christ. And that's why it's a requirement, all right? We have to have it to start the relationship. We have to have it to keep that relationship going. The idea is actually presented in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 through 6, that faith is cooperation with the Son of God to perform miracles. We see it demonstrated in this passage where it says that Jesus, actually, he could do no miracles. He says he could not do any miracles where he was except lay hands on a few sick people and heal them. And he was amazed at their lack of faith. Nobody believed, and so Christ couldn't heal, and this baffled Jesus. There was no one there cooperating with the work that Jesus was trying to accomplish. And he couldn't believe how little the people actually believed in his ability to do something. Jesus, it says in this verse that Jesus could only heal a few sick and suffering people. And I think that we can easily say that things work the same way today, because we start with faith as a requirement that pleases God, and then we continue to have faith in the work of Christ, and then Christ does something with it. And it's true today, isn't it, that if you don't have faith and you don't step out in faith, then nothing is going to happen. Pastor Sean has said in past sermons that what's required of believers is the presence of a bold faith. It's in the boldness to pray for healing, to pray for people that are sick, and to trust that God will show up. You know, in faith, we tell people about Jesus. We trust that the Holy Spirit is doing a work in their lives. We trust that God isn't done in the world. It's a requirement as faithful servants to God. And we don't want our story to be like Pastor Sean had mentioned it a few weeks ago, that Christ is so amazed at our lack of faith, and he's like, wow, I can't believe that you don't have the faith in me. Now, we want to please God with a big and a bold faith that has confidence. In fact, it's fair to say that faith isn't a confidence in our ability to manage what's ahead of us, but it's our trust in the strength of the God who stands behind us. God loves that. It's pleasing to him, and he does something with it. You know, it's important to say that he has all the power by himself, but we cooperate with that power by having faith, and without it, we can't please God. It's an essential part of God's work in the world, and it has to happen throughout our lives. But it's hard work at the same time, and it's not very easy to do. Why? Well, it's because faith is sacrifice. Faith is sacrifice. You know, there's very little in life that we can do that doesn't require some form of sacrifice. And really, faith is just no exception to this. Maybe you're here this morning and you're like right on board with this idea that faith is sacrifice, and you would say, oh, I am right there with you. You don't even need to explain anymore, because faith in Jesus Christ is the reason why I gave up that old lifestyle. It's the reason why I no longer treat myself, but it's the reason why I deny myself, and now I serve God by serving others. It's because you had the faith to believe and to deny yourself, and that the sacrifices that you make for the sake of Christ will be worth it. And so you're obedient. It all happens because of faith. And you do this at your own expense. You're obedient at your own expense, no matter how it makes you feel or no matter how it makes you look. And sometimes faith in God makes us look bad, doesn't it? I think it's fair to say that. We don't just go along with whatever society tells us to do, because we know there's something much bigger out there, and sometimes that doesn't look the best to society. For the sake of faith, you know, we sacrifice fitting in, we sacrifice our own wants and our desires, and sometimes we even sacrifice comfort. Faith calls us to a responsibility, though, that is much bigger than what society demands, because it's brought to us by a God that is much bigger than society. And it's a sacrifice. You know, the Bible continues in Hebrews 11:8, and it says that by faith, Abraham, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went. Abraham sacrificed, even though he did not know where he was going. Think about this. Abraham is known as the father of faith, right? And he was called to do something that many of us would find really scary. And it was a sacrifice that I can imagine made him look pretty strange. The call of God came to him. It demanded something from him that was so much greater than what he had known before. It was his inheritance, right? To be a father of many nations. But that was something that at the time was actually pretty uncertain to him. And he had to give something up to follow God. In Genesis 12, we actually find the specific call of Abraham. And beginning in verse 1, it lets us know that the Lord comes to Abraham, and he says to him, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land that I will show you. So we have to just kind of stop right here, because God is doing something really important. He's asking Abraham to do something sort of strange. He wants him to leave his home, to go out into the world, and then it's after he goes out into the world, leaves his home, that God will reveal to him the place where he's supposed to be. He's leaving behind his inheritance, the familiarity that he has with his surroundings. He's leaving behind his family, his friends, everything that he knows, and he's going to step out into the unknown, and he's doing this pretty late in life, and God had something much bigger planned for him, like we just read in Hebrews, but Abraham really had no idea of knowing that at first. And imagine him trying to explain that to his family, right? I can just imagine that he probably looked pretty foolish, saying that he was going to leave behind everything he ever really knew, and he was going to go out to some unknown location to serve a God that nobody had ever heard of, right? It probably looked really, really strange. And think about your own life. You know, we've all grown up with relationships, whether that's family or that's friends or you know, just people that we know that come to expect a certain thing from us. We kind of grow accustomed to a certain way of living with them, and in some ways, they box us in to be a specific type of person. It just happens. It's the way that things go as we get to know people. But in faith, it's so important to think that God actually calls us to other things. And maybe there's something present in your family or with your friends that has always been present there, and you just have this conviction that you're being called to something else, to sacrifice it. Like, for instance, maybe you have had the sense lately that God is calling you to give up drinking, because whenever you drink, you just go way too far, things never turn out well for you, and you have the conviction that God is calling you to something much higher and greater than that, and you know you have to leave it behind and give it up. So you step out in faith, but the reality is that your family and your friends don't step out in faith with you, and the next time you come out and you hang out with them, man, they think it's really weird that you have just decided to change this habit that you've had and that you've always just done socially with them, and suddenly you realize that faith is going to require you to sacrifice something. You might have to sacrifice a little bit of pride because you're not going to do what's expected of you. You might have to sacrifice even a little bit of embarrassment. You might have to suffer a little bit of embarrassment as they try to entice you to do that thing that you've always done, but you know that God has called you to something else. Maybe in a different way, you've recently come to know Jesus as your Savior. And because of that, you've realized that, man, you need to stop treating yourself and you need to deny yourself, like Pastor Sean had mentioned last week. And so you know this is going to require a complete lifestyle change out of you. But in faith, you know that it's going to be worth it. And you know that you need to deny yourself. Man, try doing that and seeing the reaction of friends and family that you've had in the past. We're not going to go into it this morning, but 1 Peter 4, verses 3 and 4, let us know that man, just because you've made a decision to change doesn't mean that they have. And the sacrifice starts to become this idea that you might have to give up some relationships because these people maybe don't like the way that you're going. They don't like the person that you're becoming, and maybe they start to speak evil of you, and you have to sacrifice and swallow a little bit of pride, be a little humble. You might look a little foolish in front of them as they try to bring you back to where you have been, and you risk maybe not being invited to parties. You risk the stress of all of that as you kind of venture out without support, but for the sake of faith, you do it. Faith in Genesis and in our own lives is asking us to give up the comfort of what we've always known and to push into the calling of God at the expense of whatever else we might have grown attached to. Sometimes the cost is great, like it was with Abraham and in those examples that I just mentioned. And, you know, sometimes it's a little smaller. But in either case, we must all answer and be willing to do what God has called us to do. And there's this element that we've been implying through this whole thing that there is some social and there is some personal sacrifice that goes along with it. It's kind of, in some ways, maybe this interpretation of faith is a little bit bleak, right? Maybe it's a little abysmal because it's hard work, it's a requirement, it's a sacrifice, but it's not without hope. And that is something that is so important for us to consider this morning, because in the midst of this sacrifice that we make to please and to follow God, to give him every part of us, it's also important for us to realize that faith is a promise. Faith is a promise, but it's not a guarantee, right? Faith is a promise. In Genesis 12:1, going back to that verse, God says, for Abraham to go out to a land that he would show him. And continuing in verse 2, God is speaking to Abraham, and God says, Abraham, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. God says, Abraham, if you step out in faith, I will be faithful to you. This is God's covenant, his promise with Abraham. He gives Abraham this promise, and it's without a guarantee in this case. But he says that the inheritance that Abraham will be walking into will far outweigh the benefits of staying at home and staying where he is. He's going to have the favor of God. God's going to bless those that bless him, curse those who curse him. He's going to be a father of nations. He's going to receive an inheritance of a land that God is going to give him. And this is a promise. But Abraham doesn't know where he's going, and he has a major choice in front of him. He can either stay put in the place that he has always known, in the place of comfort with his family, or he could respond to the call that was much bigger than him. The promise of God is posed to Abraham here, and it was something that he couldn't ignore. And God has promises to us as well. The promise of salvation, the promise that he would never leave us, the promise that he has a plan for us, and this is our inheritance. And these are things that we hold on to, right? It's things that we put our trust in even when times are hard. And in a lot of ways, our call is really similar to Abraham. Because we know what it says in God's word. Some of us have even felt the presence of God leading us to do something specific. And yet we still have to make that choice to follow without truly knowing the outcome. Because it's when we step out in faith that God reveals to us the place that we're going. Faith is the promise of God's faithfulness to do what he says he will do. There's a relationship here that's going on. We have faith and God is faithful. Unfortunately for us, it doesn't always come with a guarantee because we can think of examples of this, can't we? Like there's no tangible guarantee that God will provide when you choose to tithe consistently, despite not being financially able to do so. But God has promised that he will honor that. There's no guarantee that stepping out in faith and telling your neighbor about Jesus won't end in embarrassment, but God has promised that his word will not come back void and that you are sowing seeds. There's no guarantee that you won't face the end of some relationships when you choose to completely change your lifestyle for the sake of Christ, but we trust that God has called us to a standard, and we believe that the standard is necessary to serve him. And we don't even have the guarantee that God is going to preserve our nation. But we have the promise that God is with us always, even to the end of the age. And we need to have the faith to please God, to sacrifice, and to trust in his promises and his faithfulness that has always been there. And this leads us to our next point. It's that faith is much bigger than the present. Because you see, in faith, we trust in God's provision of the past. We trust in God's control of the present. And we trust in God's ordainment of the future. The story of faith is so much bigger than us. It's not new. It's been around since the creation of the world. It's not normal. A lot of people think that it's kind of strange, right? But it's the constant thing that God has called us to. God has been accomplishing his purposes in the world from the very beginning, and we are being propelled towards his coming kingdom. And that's a massive story. It's our identity as Christians, and we stand in the middle of it. We believe that God is faithful, and it's God that makes the story of faith so much bigger than just life right now. You know, we sang a song this morning, or we often sing a song, I should say, called Great Things. And there's a line in this song that says, "You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You've done great things." And I love that line. It's really simple, but it speaks to the work of God and his provisions in the past and his provisions from here on out to the end of time. And it's true, isn't it? We see that he was faithful to Abraham as he took that step in faith and journeyed out into the unknown. We see that through the scriptures that he was faithful to Israel when they believed. We can see that he was faithful to David. He was faithful in the work of Jesus Christ and to the apostles in the Bible. Man, God has even been faithful in the foundations of Cross Point. If we think way, way back, Crosspoint started out as this little church that didn't have its own pastor. There was only one Wesleyan pastor in the area who rode back and forth between Johnson Corners and here, and he had faith to step out and do this, and God was faithful. And we have this church today because of the faith of these people. Even in the building of this sanctuary, man, there was no money to build the sanctuary, but some people stepped out in faith, and because they had faith, God was faithful, even in the building of Cross Point and where we are right now. And we trust that as a church, that God will continue to be faithful in our efforts as we are faithful to him. And what about you? You know, as we talk about this, maybe it would be a good idea to think about ways that God has been faithful to you, and even this week to think of ways that God has impacted your life. And maybe you're thinking of some of those ways right now, and you would want to share those with us. Why don't you, right now, if you're willing, share with us in the comment sections the ways that you have acted in faith and God has been faithful to you because of that. We'd love to celebrate that with you and to just rejoice over the fact that, man, God is still faithful today when we act in faith. We are a part of this really big faith story, and it's so exciting. And even though it requires a lot of us, and I wonder this morning, will you be a part of it? Will you continue to be a part of it? It doesn't have to start out as this earth-shattering, like really, really big faith that comes in and shakes up the whole game and changes the world. Jesus says that it can be as small as a mustard seed to move mountains. And maybe today, you know, you're here listening online and you would say that what I really need is I need faith just to act, to step forward. And I really need to ask God for that this morning, to just give me faith, period. Maybe today you are saying, like, I need faith to be able to give some things up and to trust that God actually has my back when I step out and I act in that. Maybe today you would say, I need faith to be able to just rest where God has me, because right now I don't feel called to anything, and that is really hard for me not to feel the presence of God, and I just need faith to know that he is still with me this morning. Man, I challenge you as we go into prayer in the next few moments to make that your prayer, to give that to God this morning, to pray that he would grant you the faith to do what he has called you to do. This concept of faith isn't new. It's certainly not normal. And what I love is that it's not going anywhere. In a world that seems to have less and less hope and is changing every day, we can trust in the unfailing mission that God has given his church. And we can practice a full understanding of faith as we go about doing his will. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, God, today I just thank you for this fact, God, that it says in your word, God, that you'll never leave us or forsake us. God, that you remain faithful, that you've been in control of the past. God, that you're in control of the present and that you ordain the future. God, we acknowledge today that we serve power, Lord, that we serve a great and excellent God who has control over everything. And God, today I just pray that we would acknowledge that in our lives. God, that we would live into that, Lord, that we would be receptive to the things that you're calling us to do. Even if, Lord, today that might mean not doing anything, but just waiting patiently for you. God, I pray that you'd help us to push past uncertainty, Lord. Help us push past fear or anxieties or worry or even those thoughts that say we might not like what we see on the other end. Lord, help us to give up all of that for the sake of knowing you and of following you. God, help us to not be concerned with what other people might think or what society might say because we have faith in your son, Jesus. But God, help us to be bold proclaimers of your word wherever we go, Lord, that we would be a light that shines for you no matter what the cost is, Lord, because we recognize that faith comes with sacrifice, Lord, that it's a requirement. But God, also that you have made promises to us and that we stand on those promises today. And God, I just pray all of these things in your name. Amen. All right, Crosspoint. Well, if you'd like to continue this conversation further, this conversation about faith and how it can be an active part of our lives today, we just encourage you to get a hold of us in any of the ways that are highlighted on the screen beneath me. All right, we'll see you next time.